Good afternoon. My name's Joshua Clark. I'm here with Kristen Lowe from KristenLowLaw.com, presenting a divorce resource podcast series. Today's topic is frequently asked questions about children and spousal support. Good afternoon, Kristen.
Good afternoon, Josh.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and some of your credentials?
Sure. So I graduated from UC Davis School of Law back in 2005, and I've been practicing family law ever since. And one of the key things that we focus our practice on is the kids. And we also deal with child support and spousal support. Those are some of the most common issues and topics in divorce. And as such, we focus our practice on it.
Now, generally, when you call into the office, I'm going to be the person you're talking to first off. And so I talk to a lot of people where we're their first call after they get served or after they decide that they need to get divorced. And so I've heard a number of questions come up over and over and over. And of course, naturally, any parent who calls us is going to be very concerned about their kids. So one of the things that we run into time and time again is situations where a spouse will call up and their opposing party, their husband or their wife, is making some threats about the children. They say, well, I'm just going to take the children and leave, and you're never going to see them again, you're never going to see me again. How realistic is that?
Well, assuming that they're U.S. citizens, the reality is that it's not going to happen. Slim to none, because in this day and age, it's pretty easy to find another side, another party, as long as they're staying in the U.S. So if you have any concerns, the most important thing to do is file for a divorce as soon as possible and then an emergency request for temporary custody and visitation orders. That doesn't mean you get sole custody. It doesn't mean the threatening party gets no visitation or supervised visitation. But what it does is hopefully calms down the situation, gets the parties thinking about the kids instead of themselves, and instead of an emotional reaction, we start thinking like parents. What's best for our children?
Absolutely. So you said if the other party is a U.S. citizen. There's a large asterisk there that I'd like to address. What if the other party isn't a U.S. citizen? What if they're from Belize or Ireland or something?
Sure. Well, obviously, if they are not citizens of the U.S., there is a chance that they will return to their home country if they don't feel that the U.S. is their home country. With that, we have passports. We have the issues of potentially parental kidnapping, which, again, I'm going to tell you, get into court as soon as possible. Get those emergency orders. On the flip side, you really do need the kids' passports in order to travel outside the United States. So if you really have concerns about that, the first thing you want to do is make sure that the kids' passports are in your care and custody so that the other parent can't travel outside the U.S. with them. Now, a lot of the airlines are requiring notarized permission from the other parent if a parent's trying to travel internationally with the kids. So there are protections in place. But really, again, I'm going to tell you, go into court, get some emergency orders, make sure the kids are protected, and stay here in the U.S.
So some of the time, when a spouse says, well, I'm going to take the kids and you're never going to see them again, they may mean something like, I'm going to take them and run to South Africa and that's it. I think more often what they mean is, I'm going to make sure through the courts that you have no custody, that you have no visitation. How realistic is that? How ready are the courts to say, this mom is never going to see her kids?
Well, it's obviously situational. If a parent is deemed to be inappropriate, if
sure.
a parent is addicted to drugs or incarcerated or a sexual offender, a sexual predator, we've got those kind of issues that may make joint custody not a good idea and not best for the kids. But in general, California's policy is that it's best for the children to have frequent continuing contact with both parents, not just one parent. And it doesn't mean because you were the working parent and the other parent was a stay-at-home parent that the stay-at-home parent automatically gets the kids. That's not true in California. What's important to remember is that we're really trying to figure out what's best for the kids in this current situation. What worked during the marriage probably isn't going to work now. So focusing on the past and how it was and how mom never spent time with kids or dad never took the kids to their doctor's appointments, it doesn't matter anymore because it's not best for the kids in the past. It's what's best for the kids now and in the future. Most of the time, the court's going to pretty much, I wouldn't say completely ignore the past, but leave it where it is, which is in the past, and really have a more forward-looking aspect or approach towards whatever the custody and visitation arrangement is going to be. So the short answer, after all of that explanation, is it's highly unlikely that one parent is going to get sole custody and the other parent's never going to see the kids again. Obviously situational, but generally speaking, if we have two reasonable parents, we're going to make sure there's some sort of shared physical contact.
Sure. Barring some sort of exigent circumstance like abuse, that neglect, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
So the next question, and it's one that I run into almost every single call. How much support am I going to owe? How much support is he going to owe me? You love your kids, but money's an issue.
Absolutely. So I'm going to first address it with child support. So in California, we have uniform guidelines. And basically, it's a very complicated algebraic equation that comes down to a few factors. We have mom's income, we have dad's income, and we have the amount of time that the child spends with either parent. And those factors calculate what we call guideline child support. Basically, the bigger the disparity in income, the larger the amount of child support. The bigger the disparity in timeshare, again, the larger the amount of child support. But let's say we have both parents making $8,000 a month and a 50-50 timeshare, there probably won't be any child whatsoever, no child support period. On the flip side, if you've got a situation where, let's say, mom is making $15,000 a month and dad is making $3,000 a month, you're looking at some substantial child support in that scenario.
Sure, that makes sense. So is child support in California linked to, you say that it is linked to custody, is it linked to visitation? If someone stops paying support, can you prevent them from seeing the kids?
Absolutely not. But let me clarify that. So when I say it's related to the amount of time that each parent spends with the children, that's visitation. We're not talking about custody. If you have sole custody, but dad sees the kids 20% of the time, we're basing child support off that 20% visitation. If, however, in your scenario that you just presented, where basically mom hasn't paid her child support for the month and dad says, you know what, if you don't pay your child support, I'm not letting you see the kids. That doesn't work. It's not related for that. Just because you haven't paid your child support doesn't mean you get your visitation revoked. If you flip that situation, though, and let's say there's child support ordered and dad doesn't want to visit the children, then what mom would want to do is go into court and modify the visitation schedule and child support accordingly so it reflects an accurate 0% or 5% timeshare. Gotcha. Instead of the 30-40% that the court order might say.
Okay, so you said earlier that we were going to address child support first. What's the other sort of support?
The other kind of support is spousal support. A lot of people refer to it as alimony. In California, we call it spousal support. For federal tax purposes, it is called alimony, though.
Okay. And how is alimony or spousal support calculated?
So spousal support, we break them up into two categories. We have temporary spousal support and we have permanent spousal support. And those are absolutely terrible, terrible, fear-invoking terms because people think temporary, oh my gosh, it's going to expire. And people think permanent, it's going to last forever and ever and ever. And those terms aren't really accurate. The better way to think of them are prejudgment, while the divorce is going on, support. Mm. That's what we call temporary support. And then permanent is after the divorce is finalized support. Permanent support can and oftentimes does end or terminate. Temporary support sometimes expires, but doesn't usually expire.
So something that I run into all the time is folks who have sort of a moral objection. And I think that it's a reasonable one where they'll say something like, it's not right that I should have to pay him spousal support when he's the one that cheated on me. Or it's not right I should have to pay her spousal support. I don't even want to get divorced. She's leaving me. Is there any provision in California law for that?
Unfortunately not. Again, we go back to the concept of what we call a no-fault state. You can get a divorce for any reason, whether it's that you cheated on your spouse, whether it's because your spouse is addicted to drugs, or you just think that your spouse is a jerk. Doesn't matter. And we have the same concept when it comes to spousal support, which is, doesn't matter the reasons why you're getting divorced. We're not looking at morality. We're not looking at character. We're looking at financial circumstances. One party's need for spousal support, the other party's ability to pay. It's really a very, I guess, cold and very business-like analysis at what the factors are in determining spousal support. But feelings really don't have anything to do with it. The only exception really is domestic violence. If there's abuse, it's presumed inappropriate for the abuser to receive spousal support.
That seems pretty reasonable. So in terms of getting just a real rough idea of child support, spousal support, I know that there are calculators on our website, and you can go there and do that calculation, but also the parties involved are generally free to agree to amounts that differ from that the calculator. Anything else, Kristen?
Absolutely. So we have what I termed before guideline support, and that's the computer calculator. And you can use our calculator program on our website, kristenlowlaw.com. In the alternative, the two of you can figure out the numbers that are best for you and your family. And most of the time, it ends up being a better thing than just using an algebraic equation to figure out your financial circumstances for the rest of your lives. A lot of times I suggest look at your budget. Talk to a tax person. Talk to your CPA. What is best? What's going to put the most money in mom's pocket and in dad's pocket, and therefore the most money in the children's pocket?
Sure, that makes perfect sense. I think that it's worth emphasizing here, just at the end, that the most important thing, the thing that all of this is focused on, is how to get the best outcome for the kids. And really, as their parents, that's what you want. All right. Thank you very much, Kristen. Next, we're going to be discussing how things work at a law office and how to get the most out of the attorney-client relationship. Thank you very much. My name's Joshua Clark. I'm here with Kristen Lowe of kristenlowlaw.com. You can find us online at kristenlowlaw.com, or feel free to give us a call, 925-215-1388. We hope to speak with you soon. Thank you.